possession, there's a crisis involving fentanyl. And tonight, Radio 4 investigates how a radical change in the law has affected lives across the state. In A Reckoning with Drugs in Oregon, that's at 8 o'clock. In a moment, though, on Radio 4 Comedy, Frank Skinner and his panel try to match more products with their online reviews. In One Person Found This Helpful.
Who do you trust and why?
People built trust very differently.
They've built a relationship with me over a long period of time.
Throughout history, our relationship with trust has evolved, and each change has transformed how we live and work. These trust shifts have shaped everything from how we bank and trade goods to how we find and consume information. In a new series, I'll be exploring this intriguing history of trust and the trust challenges we may face in our near future.
Do we trust the people behind the technologies?
The Trust Shift with me, Rachel Botsman, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, next Monday to Friday at 1:45.
This is One Person Found This Helpful with your host, Frank Skinner.
Yes, I'm Frank Skinner, and welcome to One Person Found This Helpful, the show where we look at online reviews. And just to get us started, here's a review we found from one dissatisfied customer who said, "First time visiting McDonald's in Oswestry. What a soulless experience. It may be new, but it's not a patch on the next nearest at Chirk." So now let's meet the teams. On my left is Joe Caulfield and Scott Benny, and on my right, Esther Manito and Simon Evans. So, this being a show all about reviews, I want to ask the panellists what's the worst or perhaps the best review they've ever had, starting with Joe.
This was the Edinburgh Festival. I suppose it's a review, it's a face-to-face review. So you pay young people to give out flyers for your show. And I saw a young woman who was doing flyering for me. So I was going to go up and say hello, because I'm a nice person. I am. But before I could say hello to her, she flyered me for my show. So she's given me a leaflet that has my face on, and she's looking at me. And I was waiting for her to go, "Oh, it's you." But she didn't. But to be fair to her, I did say, don't just give it out to anyone, give it out to people like me. So she had done exactly the right thing. But then I thought, because she obviously doesn't realise it's me, so I was curious. I thought, I wonder how does she sell the show? And I said, "Oh, what's she like?" And she said, "Well, she's on Radio 4, so if you like Bill Oddie, you'll like her."
OK. Scott. Can you beat that?
I think I can. I have actually had a review before a gig. I was supporting Rob Brydon this night. It was a really big moment for me. And I remember it was before I even got to the dressing room. My mum came up to me and she said, "Oh, are you nervous?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." She went, "Well, I would be." Right? So genuinely. And then she followed it up with, "I don't know why you're worried. No one's here to see you." And then... proceeded to walk away, which I do get a lot of the in-person reviews. I've ever done one encore in my whole career, and I remember I was waiting at the parking machine in the NCP car park, and a guy sort of said to me, "Oh, we've just been to see you. I quite enjoyed that, but if you hadn't have done that extra 7 minutes, I wouldn't be in this price bracket for the parking." I pushed him into the extra price bracket.
It's worse when the criticism comes from home, isn't
yeah.
it? I was playing ukulele at the Queen's 94th birthday party at the Albert Hall.
Wow.
And I said to my partner, "This is really exciting. I'm playing ukulele for the Queen at the Albert Hall. Do you want to come?" She said, "Who else is on?" So, Esther, how have your reviews been?
Well, I had an online comment which has stuck with me, because on my Facebook page it says Esther Manito, British Lebanese comedian, and I had this man who went and wrote underneath going, he was really angry, and he went, "You might be Lebanese, but you'll never be British." And then his friend wrote underneath that, "But I don't understand what her sexuality's got to do with it." And that has been such a gift to me in so many ways.
What about you, Simon?
Well, this one was from Julian Hall. He said, dependable club comic Simon Evans has had a pretty good stab at getting together a consummate fringe show over the last few years. Sadly, he has not succeeded yet. Fair, you know, it's fair. But this is why I dug that one out particularly, because I've now discovered through a quick trawl on Amazon preparing for the show that Julian has actually published a book about the history of cult comedy in the United Kingdom, a book which is somehow accrued, I mean, I would say been plagued with a huge number of one-star reviews under a range of apparent aliases with no other activity on the website at all. Bizarre, but there we are.
So, look, we move on, if any of you can face it after all that, to the first round, which is called What Am I Reading? I've picked a book for each team and they're going to hear two real reviews of it and they have to work out what the book is. If you can't get it after that, then we'll give you a third review, although the points available will have dwindled away like the family inheritance in a Victorian blockbuster. The book could be anything from 100 years of solitude to a book you'd read on the toilet, which at my time of life is pretty much the same thing. We'll start with Joe and Scott, and here's the first genuine review. Did I like this? Yes. Do I hate myself for liking this? Yes. It was problematic and cringeworthy, but I was entertained all the same. My emotions are really a hot mess right now. I don't even know what to think. So this book made someone's emotions a hot mess.
And they hated themselves for liking it.
Yes.
Makes me think if I ever would read a Nadine Dorris novel and liked it, I would hate myself, I think.
Yes.
It's like a guilty pleasure, isn't it? It's, yeah, like it's like how I feel if my wife caught me reading a Haynes manual. In the toilet, just with no trousers on, just having, yeah, a moment, just reading.
Oh, escorts. Yeah. Yes.
He's been, yeah, I have been caught reading escorts.
Yeah.
I think this second review might help you somewhat. Mm. Romeo and Juliet with fangs. However, oh, somebody said, oh, I love it when that happens. However, the great thing about Romeo and Juliet is that at least both of them die in the end. I don't know if that's the great thing about them. No such comfort awaits the reader here. From the first book, you know that they're destined to live forever. Or for at least three more long-ass sequels. OK, then, Joe and Scott, we're looking for a book with fangs and, apologies for the literary jargon, three long-ass sequels. What are you thinking?
I think these books are massively, massively successful. Yes. Are they called The Vampire Diaries?
No, I think I know... The only reason I know this is, yeah, genuinely true, is this is the film my wife and I watched when she went into labour.
Oh.
I think it's Twilight.
Twilight.
I think it's... Because I remember we were watching that and then the next minute I was driving a Kia at high speed through Nottingham.
Well, yeah, I had that moment, yeah, with her. I missed the turning. She was in terrible pain, to be fair, in the passenger seat. And she started going, you should have gone left there, you should have gone left. Like the worst sat-nav anyone has ever had.
Yeah.
Well, we'd just got the car, so yeah. I was terrified that a water's going to go, because I don't think that's covered in the warranty.
I got in the lift with her at the hospital. She went down onto her haunches, still screaming in pain. And there was a porter in there. So he said, West Brom aren't having a very good season, are they? It's timeless, that story. That's all I really had interesting stuff to say, but I thought, no.
She was born in 28 minutes. Honestly, I was so emotional because I never had to pay for the parking. I just straight in and out. You know, so that is a child with Yorkshire DNA, yeah. I tell you.
Brilliant. There is another review which you obviously don't need. Whiny and annoying teenage girl meets mysterious and brooding hot vampire. She almost dies, but he saves her and that's it. There was no need to write 500 pages for that. People are cruel, aren't they? Yes, it was indeed the arguably overlong Twilight by Stephanie Meyer. And I have to tell you one final nail in the coffin, as it were, when one reviewer said, you should only buy this book if you have a personal vendetta against trees. OK, now, Esther and Simon have to hear some reviews and guess their book. So here is your first one. If this story can teach us anything, it's that sometimes you just need to let go. to let go of your selfish ambitions, to let go of your absent youth. It's not frozen, by the way. And to let go of a fish that is going to bring you nothing because life is transitory. It's a powerful allegory which I naturally found repugnant because it glorifies fishing.
Well, I've not read it, but is this Mein Kampf? I don't know, fishing novels, fishing memoirs.
Just there's keep
the complete
fishing and
angler.
Stuff.
That's like a. Oh, there's Fly Fishing by J.R. Hartley.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. But it's hard to track down, even online, I believe.
I think it's a book you will have heard of, certainly the author. Do you want to have another clue?
Is it Geoffrey Archer, My Life Fishing?
No.
No.
But you're on the right lines.
Okay.
Oh.
No, that was a fishing joke, not a clue.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I understand that it celebrates the ridiculous American idea that you're only a real man if you've done something entirely purposeless but really dangerous in pursuit of making yourself look like the bull with the biggest sexual equipment. Get over it already. Go home and clean out the refrigerator or wash the curtains or take your daughter bra shopping. That would impress me.
Well, I mean, the macho, the king of macho sport fishing is Hemingway, right?
It certainly is.
Is it Hemingway? Is it The Old Man and the Sea Word?
It is The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway. Well done.
Yeah, well done, you.
I like these reviews. It feels like women everywhere just stuff they'd like to say to men. You know, just stop with your stupid hobbies and do something useful like bloody clean the curtains and, you know, instead of all this going on for hours about bloody fish or whatever they're into now. Men can't just have hobbies, have to tell you about them, don't they? Shut up.
The Old Man and the Sea is not like some, like, accountant who goes away at the weekend to avoid his wife. He actually needs to
bring... I've read it. It's a boring bloke going on about fishing. Yeah.
Well, it's an old man who's given his life to the sea.
Well, that was a mistake, wasn't it?
He wrestles this massive fish. It's like man's pursuing...
You can't
cutting.
Fight a fish. What an idiot. Can you?
You're right.
You've wasted your life.
You're right. You've Stop completely taught fish. Me out of it. This began with you saying what a nice person you were. Just remember that. Now you've turned on an old man trying to live his dreams.
I'm just trying to help him, stupid old man fighting fish. Should be locked away.
What are the points, I wonder? Well, Joe and Scott are on two and Esther and Simon are on two. This next round's called Visitor's Book. Everywhere gets reviewed, no matter what it is. For example, we found this Google review of Long Compton Abattoir and it said, the best abattoir in this part of Long Compton. Not even in Long Compton. So I'm going to give each team in turn a real place, a museum, an attraction, anything you might find a leaflet for tipped onto the reception desk of the sort of hotel that still uses actual keys. And I want them to sign the visitor's book with details of their own experience. So first off, Joe and Scott, I hear you paid a very enjoyable visit to the British Lawnmower Museum in Southport, Merseyside. And just to give you a flavour of its wonders, here's a real review for it, which said, being an avid Coronation Street viewer, I particularly enjoyed investigating Hilda Ogden's Qualcass Panther. Who wouldn't? So, Joe and Scott, how was your grass grooming-based day?
Genuinely a fascinating place and does have celebrity lawnmowers. And then there's reviews. There was one man couldn't get over. He went, they've got celebrity lawnmowers, but not just celebrities. Nicholas Parsons lawnmower. I know. And there's so many exclamation marks. Nicholas bloody Parsons. Okay, they've got others. But look at it, Nicholas Parsons lawnmower.
The Nicholas Parsons lawnmower as well is a beautiful machine. Mows your lawn perfectly in a minute, no hesitation or deviation. But the weird thing is they displayed the lawnmowers on AstroTurf, which I can't help thinking, that's an opportunity missed, isn't it? Yeah. It's like putting skis on a mound of talcum powder.
I don't want to judge, who am I? But someone put... Been once, probably won't go again. It's for people who like lawnmowers.
They used to have lawnmowers pulled by donkeys as well, which was interesting, but then they unionised and went to Blackpool and really cleared up.
Wasn't that how they described the First World War? lawnmowers pulled by dogs. Let me share one more genuine review from someone who was very pleased about what they found in the gift shop. Myself and my partner purchased two pewter Shanks model lawnmowers, which we now have proudly super glued onto the dashboard of our motorhome. Can I say again, these are genuine. OK, Esther and Simon, you've had a lovely time because you've been to Ness Point. Well, you may gasp, but for those surely very few of you who don't know what Ness Point entails, I can tell you that it's the easternmost point in the British Isles and is quite near Lowestoft. And as one reviewer put it, not a lot to do here and can be very windy. But if you want to say you've been to Britain's most easterly point, then this is the only place to be. So, Esther and Simon, how was it for you?
If you go to Ness Point information website, they have click here to find out a list of things to do here, and it's just got one thing. Bird watching. Which, to be fair, I can do from outside of any building. To go to Ness Point.
You might not see the most easterly sparrow in the
United
Kingdom.
No, I might not see.
There's a possibility.
I might not see.
I would have thought if you were going to make an effort to visit England's most easterly point, it should have a souk or, I don't know, maybe a little bit of slightly discordant oud music or at least like a Turkish delight stall or something. Do you know what I mean? Just a bit of Eastern flavour, but it isn't. It's Eastern in the most dismal sense of that word, I'm afraid. It is the part of the United Kingdom that is closest to Amsterdam, and yet, in another and more important sense, it absolutely isn't. It's the part of the United Kingdom that is least like Amsterdam, and you can only fantasise.
What's wonderful as well is that there's a Euroscope there. That's the main thing, the main draw, and it's a completely 2D platform that shows the mileages to other destinations. So that shows you how poor it is as a tourist attraction when the main attraction tells you how far away you are from being somewhere better.
Someone had written, who knew an industrial estate could be the quirky prelude to a concrete slab facing the sea? And if that's not enough to whip you into a frenzy, then there's the bird's eye factory opposite.
Do you think their eastern theme is 70s Moscow? That's kind of what it sounds like. OK, just in case you thought we were a bit down on the idea of an industrial landscape off the Suffolk coast, here's a review that adds a splash of glamour. Sat-nav had trouble locating this. Probably signal interference from the gasworks or the fish finger factory.
What's in those fish fingers? If it's affecting the signal. That's trouble. I give them to my kids.
I'm going to give you the points. It is Joe and Scott are 4 and Esther and Simon are also on 4 points. OK, this next round's called Fill in the Missing Word. I'm going to give the teams reviews that we've found and they have to fill in the missing word, obviously. These are absolutely genuine, I say again. Here goes. I dashed into this store in a panic the other week. I had a 6-hour drive to Scotland ahead of me and had forgotten to pack my blank.
Driving scotch.
clothing for every season imaginable.
My audiobook of the complete works of Shakespeare, read by Jeanette Cranky.
My half and half Rangers Celtic scarf.
Factor One sunshine lotion.
My fragile sense of hope, it's a car share of comedians on the way to the fringe.
Do you want to know what it really said? I dashed into this store in a panic the other week. I had a 6-hour drive to Scotland ahead of me and had forgot to pack my knitting. That was from a Google review of Beautiful Knitters, Pimlico.
And I thought texting while driving was quite dangerous.
Yes. Yeah, often they're sharing a needle as well.
It's a mindfulness thing, the knitting. Yeah. I've seen people knitting in audiences. I think it's...
Yeah. That sounds like I only do...
I remember when I played Paris in the 1780s.
Yeah, yeah. My mum's been knitting for my entire life. She used to knit so much. She genuinely used her Green Shield stamps when I was about 7 to get me an Action Man. And then, which was lovely of her, and then she would knit me jumpers, and she would always knit Action Man the replica jumper with the leftover wool as well, so that he was my complete
mini-me. My mum used to knit Action Man clothes with great big buttons the size of his face. Right, here's another one. This is a very sturdy, very loud triangle. Ding. Does the job well, vibrates at the same frequency as one of my blanks, though.
Husband's left hip replacement.
Opponents' heads. This is actually an extract from a book, When Snooker Gets Violent.
Do you ever do that thing of keeping a pen and paper by the side of the bed in case you dream of a joke or think of a joke in the night? And when I read them the next day, they're always terrible. And I'd written one and it said, advances in snooker technology, the rest is history. And I thought, I know I'll be in a desperate situation the night I say that. Anyway. Okay, vibrates at the same frequency as one of my blanks.
I would go with fillings, I think. I can picture that.
You're absolutely right. It is fillings.
That's a hell of a vibration, isn't it?
So, you see, triangle players, you could be an amazing triangle player, but if you've got bad dental hygiene, it's a real... It's like fighter pilots if you can't take the G-force, isn't it? I could have been brilliant at the triangle, mate, but ate too many sweets as a kid. Give me the drum. I know my limits.
Where are we on the points front? Joe and Scott are on 4. Esther and Simon are on 6. OK, this next round's called What Did I Buy? I'm going to give each team reviews of something you can buy online and ask them to work out what thing is being subjective to incisive critical analysis or the babblings of a pillock. So we'll start with... That's a lovely Radio 4 word, isn't it? Fabulous. I bet Dennis Norden said that in 1958. So we'll start with Joe and Scott. We're going to hear a couple of reviews of a particular product or product range. First, I ordered a 2-tier cake and the stalks inside were basically redundant because the cake collapsed. A very basic element in cake layering / tiering, I would have thought. Any idea what that could be talking about?
So it's a cake with tiers, like a wedding cake?
Yes.
I don't know who makes wedding cakes.
All I know is that my dad used to have a great scam going where he would go into a famous patisserie in Leeds in a shopping centre when he knew they were going to shut about 5 minutes before because he knew they were all going to get thrown out. And he'd just wander in with a cool box and take them off their hands. Did it for years. I mean, his cholesterol's through the roof.
I had a mate who used to take the same barcode in for a cheap bottle of wine and scan himself out regularly with a decent bottle of Plonk from one of the larger supermarkets that he felt could absorb the loss. But I've always thought it'd be a nice touch with a wedding cake to, if your mate was getting married, to slip a file into the cake.
I always think a fabulous image of marriage is those two hands on the same knife handle.
I don't know the name of any shops that sell wedding cakes. That's my problem.
We had one made by our auntie, but I'm from the
it
north.
It won't be your auntie. It's not who's being reviewed. Okay. Do you want another clue? Had purchased the passion fruit cupcakes as a treat and both my children were sick from it. The cakes actually tasted eggy, but because there wasn't a sample to send back to their lab, I was refused my refund. But I must say they sent 6 cupcakes out as an apology. I didn't want to take the chance of eating them, so I gave them to a neighbour. We can't verify if those neighbours survived, but just to be clear, the reviews for this outlet on Trustpilot were 85% 4 stars or above. So a lot of happy customers and now quite a lot of happy BBC lawyers. Anyway,
Some sort of cupcake, because that was the thing. Wasn't that a thing about 15 years ago? Every woman who was having a nervous breakdown opened a cupcake shop. Mm. You know, going, I'm giving up my job, I'm just going to make cupcakes.
I saw one on the underground in between stations, a cupcake stop, and I think, oh, do you know where I'd really like a cupcake? On the underground.
Yeah. Walking just through Euston Station.
Yeah, sat amongst seats riddled with DNA.
I really hate cupcakes. Who wants that much icing? Really? Like an inch and a half.
Someone just went, me.
Do you want another clue?
If you could give us a clue that's like the name, that would help.
Yeah, I don't think this one's going to be very helpful. This is a one that says they are mean with the compote.
What?
Mean with the
compote? So which cupcake with provider the, with was being accused compote. Of compote inadequacy? Yeah.
I mean, it sounds to me like Iceland or something, you know, from the disappointing quality. I can't believe that Marks and Sparks wouldn't include a couple of decent stalks.
I think the phrase mean with the compote rules out Iceland.
Well, it was actually Lola's Cupcakes, as seen in every train
that's
station and shopping centre in
those.
That
is the one, Newstead Station, I was venturing
in. It's in those little carties that absolutely cheer up what I like to call the retail space. OK, now it's time for Esther and Simon to search the merch, predict the product, basically guess the thing. Two reviews, and if you need the third one, the whole thing's discounted to a bargain basement, 1 point. So what merited this review? They needed more non-slip rubber at the back so they didn't roll down, otherwise they would have been perfect.
Non-slip rubber at the back?
Mm.
You don't have non-slip rubber on socks, do you? Is that...
Not yet.
They don't roll down. I can't think what else rolls down. Stockings.
Do you have non-slip rubber on?
I just don't wear them anymore. It's, what don't you want to roll down?
I'm really
down?
Trying to listen to the people whispering in the audience.
Could it be toddlers? Children?
Yeah. No.
So you put them on a surface and you want them to just like stay where they are.
I think the next review could turn the whole thing round for you. It does an all right job of flattening my stomach area for my bridesmaid dress. However, it is making my bot look like a busted fan of biscuits. I'm either going to forego the whole operation or wrestle the fabric to where it's not restricting my greatest asset. What is a busted fan of biscuits? Is that someone caught doing a brass robbing of a malted milk? If you can get both codes, clearly.
Yeah.
A great job.
Now, that's one of the few remaining sort of bas-relief biscuits, though, isn't
it?
It
is, yeah. I love a malted milk.
So it's someone who's squeezing... Well, a bridesmaid's not even her.
So it's a sort of a girdle of some sort, is it?
Oh, now we get close.
A corset?
I think we're going with Spanx, are we?
Oh, yes. Tremendous work.
Okay. The old Spanx.
It's a cargo redistribution proposition of
it
some sort.
It just sucks it all in and then it all just pops out.
Well, where does it? Oh, it turns it into boobs, does it?
Yeah, you just have these huge shoulders.
Wow.
Storming down the aisle. Look at my wide-shouldered bride. Look at she about, my God, she's got narrow hips. Hate Spanx, by the way.
It is Spanx, a leading brand in the world of what I believe is called shapewear. If you don't know what shapewear is, have you ever seen footage of those little uniformed men who push people onto packed Japanese commuter trains? It's like a version of that, but with buttocks. Anyway, the final scores. Joe and Scott have 5, but Esther and Simon have 7. I'll leave you with this one item from a satisfied Tesco customer. It's a 5-star review of a cucumber, and it just says, "Cheers, mate. Me nan's just ran off and played cricket with it." Goodbye!
One Person Found This Helpful was hosted by Frank Skinner and starred Joe Caulfield, Scott Bennett, Esther Manito and Simon Evans. It was written by Frank Skinner, Catherine Brinkworth, Sarah Dempster, Jason Hazley, Brigitte Carrier, Carl Minns, Katie Sayer and Peter Talouche. The show was devised by Simon Evans and Jason Hazley with the producer David Tyler, and it was a Positive production for BBC Radio 4.
Frank Skinner's back at the same time next week. And tomorrow, at the same time, there's new comedy.
Preheat oven, gas mark 9, pour audience into palm of hand, ding, dinner is served. That's my recipe.
Fresh comic chaos from Tim Key and Tom Basden.
Your head's swollen up.
Pardon me?
It's swollen right up. It's like an onion on a cocktail stick.
Using poetic license when it comes to poetry.
I sometimes write poems about love. Love in the community, that sort of thing. Sometimes snooker.
Featuring Katie Wicks, Stephen Merchant, Lolly Adefope and Morgana Robinson.
Looks like he's been rolled out of dough while the lights were off.
She's got away with words, Lord, I'll give her that.
Bang on.
Pardon me?
Tim Key's Poetry Programme. Tuesday night's new 6:30 comedy on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
The composer and multi-instrumentalist Sir Carl Jenkins is 80. He's celebrating with a concert tour, and he's on Front Row tonight at 7:15. After the news, Tracy has a bone to pick, and Stella has a delicate problem on...